Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about a feeling that each of us experiences one way or another, the feeling of resistance. Sometimes I resist something that I see or experience. Sometimes someone else resists me, which isn't that pleasant. And we'd like to learn how to correctly work with this feeling in order to make our life better. Be with us. Yael, please. Yeah, there are many states that make us resist different things like behavior, smells, a certain kind of language, a certain kind of person, a certain situation, and we don't always know how to correctly manage our resistance in order for it to pan out in the best possible way. Sometimes the resistance comes out so aggressively that it creates one big mess in all of our relationships, whether it's at home, at work, or in any other place. On the other hand, we're familiar with the opposite feeling, when someone resists us. And there you always kind of shrink on the inside. You feel that you're being undermined. If someone else expresses a different opinion, we really take it hard. It doesn't just pass next to us, but it really threatens us in a certain way. And this is what we'd like to talk about on our show today. And I'd like to start with the question of, what leads a person to feel resistance? That he discovers that there is someone, something, or some phenomenon, or some person, or some action, something that's happening around him that is not exactly according to his desire, that it contradicts his desire. Yeah, desire, understanding, inner consent, meaning that he feels that it's opposed to him. And what is it about it that awakens such acute responses in us? It undermines my sense of self. How? Because I think that I'm 100% right, that I understand, that I feel, that I'm in control, that I decide, determine. And there are also such things that I'm not so sure of, and I'm willing to listen to other opinions, and then I don't feel opposed to them. But if I don't prepare myself for this kind of perception in advance, that I'm expecting criticism because I need it, then I really resist any kind of criticism or anything that is opposed or opposite to how I determine things should be, that this is the truth and so on. And then I really oppose other opinions, facts, whatever. It could be things that are related to the still, vegetative, animate, and certainly if we're talking about human beings. But a person who has some life experience, he already knows that sometimes he's right, sometimes he's wrong, sometimes he changes his opinion, and despite all the accumulated experience and everything, when someone opposes his opinion, he doesn't see it as someone opposing his own opinion, but as someone opposing his sense of self. Why is there such a connection between my opinion and who I am? Because my opinion and I are one and the same. This is how a person sees it. Yes, but if I prepare myself in advance to opposite opposing opinions and I see them as a sort of development in a certain society that helps us achieve the truth that no one really knows what it is and so on, then we're already in an environment of researchers, and then these opposing things, matters, there's something natural. We're expecting opposition, by which we further our scrutiny. But if not that, an ordinary person off the street if he hears something that's against his own opinion, he perceives it as a blow to his own ego, to the very essence of his existence, and he can't agree with it. So resistance, there's also a positive aspect to it. How does it develop a person? Of course, a person that wants to advance toward the truth, and none of us knows what the truth is, then he has to hear different opinions. He needs them. All the more, he's willing to invest a lot in order to hear different opinions, because by them he develops. And maybe he changes his opinion. But here we're already talking about special people, not ordinary people. That, first of all, their goal is to develop themselves. And therefore, in favor of their development, they're willing to bear anything, and they're glad to hear something that's opposite to their own opinion, because then they can become included of many opinions. I want to ask about adolescence. It's an age where there's lots of resistance toward your parents, conventions. It's something that nature gives young people on purpose in order for them to develop. What is it about resistance that develops us? How does it develop an adolescent? Were they not to resist the elderly, suppose the previous generation, they couldn't develop because they'd remain in the same opinion. And therefore, they have to resist. And we always have these problems, like it says, between fathers and sons. And it's not a problem. It's a sign for development. How does resistance develop an adolescent? To begin with, his ego is on a different degree than that of his father. And therefore, he resists. He wants something else. He wants a different life. Especially that when he becomes an adolescent, then his father is already toward the end of his life. Well, three quarters or two thirds, doesn't matter. Suppose his father is about 50 and the adolescent is about 20. So still, it's a big difference. So they can't really understand each other, but there's need for a special kind of education, both for the father, in order for him to better understand the qualities and his son's right to be different, and also for the son to understand that even though that he has to develop on his own, according to his own qualities, his passions that suit his generation, but he has to also pay attention to his attitude toward his father. Because in the comparison between him and his father, can he see what's the difference between the generations, the gap, and the time will come when he himself will start going back to his father's values himself. Not now, it'll happen in many years, but it'll happen to him too. Previously you said that nature awakens resistance in an adolescent on purpose toward that which preceded him. Does it happen to all adolescents? Could an adolescent develop without feeling resistance toward that which preceded him? Is it possible to develop without feeling resistance? No. So, can you explain why? What does it give me that I start suddenly feeling that I'm against this, against that? They're in favor, I'm against. Because one grows upon the other. There can't be any new degree or new state unless he rejects the previous degree. Why? Because this is a law of nature. That you can grow, you can come out only from something that you reject. Why? Because you want to grow, meaning you want to come out of what you previously had. So you have to some extent to start disagreeing, disregarding, rejecting. Meaning you have to come out of a certain state in order to develop a new one. Yes. And this is a part of the laws of nature. Yes. Previously you said that a part of the process of adolescence is that a teenager understands that there is a gap between the generations, and you said that over time, he'll return to his father's values. So what's the new thing that he's building in the meantime? In the meantime, he's developing a new degree. In the meantime, he begets sons. In the meantime, these sons resist him. And he himself sees that to some extent, he goes back to his father's state. But his sons already advance. There's a kind of a step forwards, backwards. Forwards, backwards here. What's forwards and what's backwards? In any development of ours, we also go back into reverse. We need it in order for the following degree, the next generation, that for sure they'll stand on the correct principles. So the basis remains more or less the same, and around it there are all the times ascents, a bit of descent, but it's always this way. It's as the saying goes, were the young to know, and the old able. Okay, after we talked about the gap between the generations, I want to focus on the person himself. Is there such a reality where a person resists himself? Sure. Why? Because he sees his previous state, his current one, or that at the same time he has two different opinions in two different directions, and he still doesn't know how to combine them. A person that's advancing, he's on many levels and many such different states. So I want to understand the resistance. In the beginning of our discussion, you said that resistance is the result of a person feeling that his sense of self is threatened. Yeah. So when a person resists himself, what happens there? I read a certain book. I got a certain impression. And I see that this impression really changed me on the inside. And I see that this change is opposed to everything that I had before. So where am I here and what am I going with? I like have a split personality here, a split path. There's an unclear decision that I have to make, but I have to decide. What do you do? People that really take big, important steps, real steps, they have to deal with such situations. But here still, I'd like to say something from what we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The topic is the feeling of resistance, as you've described it. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we constantly change in the process of learning, by learning. And then I change, and I'm happy about these changes. I feel very strong resistance to how I was or to how I am right now. And I'm happy about this resistance. I hear how people talk against me on different levels, in different states, regarding different discernments. And I'm happy about it. Even if it's true or not, I don't mind. Because it's there in order for me to take care of myself. And when I do, then I have to thank those opponents. Because by them, I annul myself. And then by them, I ascend spiritually. So, how is resistance related to spiritual ascent? Precisely through resistance comes spiritual ascent, because without resistance, I couldn't ascend. This way I have to ascend. Otherwise, I'll remain in this resistance. Against this resistance, no. I have to rise to a state where I'll feel that this resistance actually motivates me to ascend. I have to say thank you very much, or to pay that enemy, that person that gives me a hard time in life, for different reasons, doesn't matter why. The reasons are unimportant here. The reasons are something completely different. The main thing is that he resists, that he pressures my ego, and I rise above my ego. And until this resistance disappears, it remains below, and I've ascended. So this person caused me to spiritually ascend. I have to tell that person, thank you very much. What is a spiritual ascent? It's where I annul myself, my ego, toward what that person does to me. And what's the ascent about it? That I rise above my own ego, that he awakens. You ascend to what? It sounds like you're descending, that you annul your ego. Yeah, but it's an ascent, not descent. So this is what I'm asking, you're ascending where? Above the ego. To what? To the attribute of bestowal, to the quality of connection, of love. Can you explain a bit? I have to reach a state. From what you just explained, I understand that if you feel resistance and you want to spiritually develop and you identify a kind of resistance, you're really happy about it. It's like in karate or in other martial arts that you use it as a lever. Exactly. Just one more thing to complete the thought. We said that resistance is something that threatens a person's sense of self, and so he immediately resists. Suppose, if it happens immediately, yeah, I'm talking instinctively, I feel a threat, it threatens my sense of self, and it awakens resistance. Now, you said that there is a technology that I can use it as a lever to transcend. How does that work? I don't look at the person himself. I look at the one standing behind him, the upper force that wants to elevate me to a higher degree, which is the developing force. Yeah. That wants for me to be more bestowing, more loving, more connected with the entire integral system, not to see individual people, but to see here only emissaries, that all of them are working on me, influencing me, so that thanks to them, I'll ascend. And then I work on myself. I stop seeing that person as someone that's against me, and I start seeing him as someone that actually helps me. And then I benefit as a result. The one thing is that I don't go into arguments and frictions with that person. Another thing is that by him, I acquire a spiritual degree, and that's great. And how is all of this related to love? Love. Yeah, as it says. A hero is he who turns his enemy into someone that loves him. He's the hero of heroes, really, because he does double. Not only that he neutralizes the other person, but he turns him into someone that loves him. So you're taking this mechanism of development where, as we said, a person can develop only upon resistance, and you're saying that part of the wisdom of Kabbalah says that in order to develop, you have to rise above this resistance as many times as possible. Yeah, suppose look up on the internet what it says about me, and I thank all those that want to make me look bad. Really? So how does a person turn someone that hates him into someone that loves him? Because I understand that these are the Creator's messengers, that there is none else besides the Creator. Yeah, but suppose Yael is against me, and you say that the highest level is turning someone that's against me into someone that favors me. Yes, in what? In that you see that all those things that she says about you help you rise above your current qualities into higher ones. And that makes me improve as a person that has transcended. Yeah. And this will help improve her attitude toward me? Maybe. Because you said that this is what it really means to be a hero, to turn your enemy into someone that loves you. Maybe. Yeah, maybe you've corrected yourself and then she has no further role in bettering your life. She helped you ascend. By the way, then you have to bring her presents. So if I understand the central point of what you're explaining, when something awakens your resistance, you don't stay focused on that person, phenomenon, no. On the upper force standing behind them. And you relate to that person or factor that has awoken this sense of resistance in you as something that encourages you to carry out a certain action that's completely unrelated to that person, but it's between you and yourself and your attitude toward life and so on. Right. And then you turn that into a lever, because it actually awakens you to develop as a human being. Yeah. If so, there's nothing bad in the world. I use everything for the better. You have to be very spiritual in order to relate to life this way. And this is actually the attitude by which you grow in spirituality. Should I express my resistance in some way, verbally? To resist? No. Verbally, should I say something if there's an opinion that I disagree with? Only for the sake of explanation, if you want for them to understand something or advance, so I explain, just like I'm explaining now. But if not for the sake of explanation, for the world, for the correction of the world, I wouldn't be talking about it. Okay, let's take a practical example from our day-to-day life. We finished the spiritual discussion, let's go back to our earthly life. I'm at work, there's a discussion, I have a certain opinion, you have a different opinion, she has another opinion, sometimes, and you also mentioned this, I'm in a state where I'm open to hear other opinions because I really feel that it helps the project or a certain product or whatever. And sometimes I feel that I'm in a state of war. Suppose if I'll express my opinion and you say the opposite, then suddenly I feel that in order to make room for your opinion, you're as if running me over with a tank or something. And I resist so strongly that it brings out strong aggressions in me. Even if I don't express them, I feel it inside myself. And I'm in this state where, how do you correctly work with these feelings and these situations? First of all, to keep yourself in a state that there's just one acting force in the whole of reality, and that this force depicts and forms, shapes this entire world and shows it to you the way that you see it. And therefore, it's good for you not to forget about it. And how is it related to the meeting we're having at work right now? That I don't see these things. I see the Creator that puts these different puppets in front of me, and I have to relate to them correctly, in a balanced way, in a way that I accept the behavior of all of these people as that He's standing behind them. If I relate to them as emissaries, they become good. How? Because by that, I neutralize their evil mission. But suppose we're in the situation I described. We're in a certain meeting, you have an opinion, I have an opinion, she has another opinion. I can either be open to this and then the different opinions, they help us develop, or I can be in a really aggressive state that I feel that you want to erase my sense of self. There's no sense of self here. If it's something professional, then what sense of self could there be here? It's not personal. Yeah, but you're completely emotionally involved. Then it's not good. So this is what I'm asking. I understand that you relate to this with a cold mind. It's not personal, it's not this, it's not that. I'm not talking in terms of feeling like it or not. I'm talking about the creator that's operating that person. If this is how I see things, then I relate to everything in a business-like fashion, and only what's better or not better for our organization in order to achieve this or that, and it's not personal at all. So I bring them to a different degree of discussion that's truly business-like. So you're using only the intellectual part, not the emotional one. Yeah. I don't use the emotional part at all. And what's your goal in this discussion? To reach a reasonable decision. The best possible one for the sake of the matter for which we've gathered here. Business-like and only. Our time's up. Can you give me a tip of how to really relate to things intellectually and not out of gut feeling? No gut feeling. All your nerves, all of your thoughts regarding being hurt and so on, relate all of this only to the Creator. There are no people. As it says, all are deemed as beasts. Everyone's a puppet. You're in front of the Creator, and this entire theater is between the two of you. So the entire scene of this world related to the upper force. And then, you'll decide on things rationally, in a simple way, intellectually. Good luck. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best. Yeah.